Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, we'll have cheer coach Monica Aldama. She's going to join us, and Jody Miller's going to hang in and do the news. First, there's Jordan Harbinger. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show, that is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Nobody put ketchup in a hot dog.
If you said Dirty Harry.
Nobody. I mean, nobody puts ketchup on a hot dog.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Cheerleading coach Monica Aldama is on. You know her from the Netflix docuseries Cheer. Season 2 is available now. As we speak, and got a book out, Full Out, Lessons in Life and Leadership from America's Favorite Coach, available now on Amazon. Good to see you, Monica.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
I haven't thought a ton about competitive cheerleading, but I do have thoughts, which is I oftentimes talk about people in an unfavorable way. And I sometimes realize that they don't have a background in discipline, repetition, you know, something the military, something that football, organized sports, you know, really offer a base. There's so many people just kind of grow up doing whatever. And then you catch them in their mid-20s and they work for you. And you're like, the fuck is this guy late all the time and has an attitude about it? Like, oh, but it's right. He never did. He doesn't have a base. But I always think about the military or wrestling or football. But high-level competitive cheerleading, man, that's got to be up there in terms of really setting a base because it's a repetition thing, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not like you, if someone gets hurt, you don't, I mean, you do have substitutes, you have alternates, but if you're in the middle of a performance, it's very difficult to just sub someone in. So it takes a lot of work, focus, repetition, discipline. And I don't think the world really knew that until, you know, the first season of Cheer came out. So we definitely educated people.
Yeah, it's very intense. My dream job is to be a spotter.
We're going to do a little cheer later. We're going to do a little number later.
Really? We're going to do Here We Come A-Trucking In?
Yeah. Except
but I need you up in a kind of pyramid. Because
I feel like I'm the girl that would definitely be on the bottom of the pyramid. So you might have to get on our back. Brian's going to be the top.
On a comical note, Jody, if a woman in a short skirt like was up on one of those rolling ladders at the Home Depot and you just stood under her, and just stared up at her crotch.
Yeah, you'd probably be asked to leave the Home Depot.
You'd be asked to leave. But if you're a cheerleader spotter and you look down, you're fired.
That's
the greatest gig ever.
You're so
You will be disciplined for not looking at the crotch
of
a young, beautiful shapely woman who's at the top of a pyramid.
I do.
Whether it's the bottom of the pyramid, right, or the military or football or whatever, right. It's accountability to the group, right? Because if you fuck up at the bottom of the pyramid or in the middle or wherever, someone's getting hurt. You're going to tumble to the ground and you're getting injured.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'm hoping that they're focused on their job and not anything else when they're looking up to see what's going on.
Well, that is their job to look up and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes,
if I happen to have a boner, that's the way I do my job. You know what I mean? And I don't tell you how to do your job.
As long as it's a focus boner. I mean, it's got to be really focused. I do agree, though. I played field hockey and softball, organized sports. I think it's so, and I have a daughter now as a baby, so she's starting next year. I'm going to put her in sports next year. It really served me throughout my life. Thinking about it then, I just was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Practice and competing and stuff like that. It wasn't until I was older that a lot of those lessons that you learned working with a team, any sport, stays with you forever. And you're right. A lot of people today are just like, whatever, I played video games for a couple hours a day.
Yeah, well, people always talk about, like, you got to be competitive. You got to get the competitive spirit. Most people I know are competitive. Yeah. In a shitty way.
Yes. You know what I mean?
But not go out and do the work and be competitive. They're just super competitive over trivial knowledge.
Why did
or
that
whatever.
Person get this?
Well, yeah, whatever. They're more competitive, like they're vindictive and competitive. But in cheer, by the way, number one this past weekend on Netflix, you should know.
Yeah.
The, show.
Yeah.
But also repetition, because all real sport at a higher level is just tons of repetition. Nobody wants to do repetition because it's boring and it sucks. And by virtue of repetition, you just did it 100 times. Who wants to do it 101 times? But that's where the kind of the greatness is. And I imagine cheer. I mean, you always think about the guys out on the football field and all the repetition, but there's probably an equal amount of repetition going on in the, on the cheering side.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we do a lot of really difficult elements, and it's very fast paced. And so, you know, there's a whole model that we go through where we're, you know, repping out just the skills individually, and then we're putting those into choreography in a fast paced routine. And then you have to rep out getting your endurance built up to actually safely be able to go through that. And then more reps to get to where your consistency level is good, and then more reps to where you can then add a performance into it. So it's a ton of reps. And, you know, I think that's been one of the reasons that we've been successful, because we have put the reps into it, no matter how draining and exhausting it is.
There was an expose or movement, as memory serves, probably been over a decade now, of a lot of injuries that were happening, maybe at the high school level and at the college level, just meaning the stuff they were trying was not the stuff your grandma did in the knit skirt, you know, and it can be dangerous, can it not?
I mean, of course, yes, it can. I mean, we're doing difficult things. And I think the industry, you know, definitely when I started, I've been doing this a really long time. So when I started 27 years ago, there were no safety guidelines. And so there were some really crazy things being done back then. But fairly soon after I started, they started implementing safety guidelines, and they've really tweaked those over the years to make sure that we are being safe, and we have education and trainings that we go to. And, you know, I think the thing about, you know, when cheer came out, season one came out, they definitely showed every single time that we fell, and I'm sure that makes for great TV. So we had a little bit of backlash about, oh, the injuries in cheerleading, but you know, we compete at an elite level. So we are educated. I'm educated. The kids are educated. And we spend a lot of time doing progressions and just like those reps I was talking about. So we don't go straight for the hardest thing. We do progressions. So we do easier things and then build up as we are learning and get more consistent. And we have tons of spotters. So yes, I mean, it's just like any other sport. You can have injuries when you're doing it, but I find that a lot of the injuries that we have had are really injuries that come in any sport when you've put your body through a lot of, reps over your lifetime of doing that, because most people start at a really early age. So maybe they tear their ACL because of overuse or something like that. And I think those are some very common injuries across, you know, anybody that's athletic and has been training for years and years of their life.
I wanted to do a movie called The Spotter, perhaps an episodic TV show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you work in Hollywood, Jody.
Uh-huh, I do.
So just imagine this.
Let me see. Mm-hmm.
Think Incredible Hulk TV show meets mm-hmm. Kung Fu. All right. This guy's a spotter, right?
He's the Hulk or the Kung Fu guy?
Well, the same kind of theme. They roam from town to town.
Oh. Podcast host.
Their past. Okay. They're chased and haunted. They're haunted by their past.
Oh, right. Because they let somebody fall and they'll never forgive themselves.
There was the Tulane pyramid collapse.
Mm-hmm. Great pyramid collapse, right.
It's just called the pyramid collapse. Okay. Tulane pyramid collapse of 1989.
Oh, the 80s.
And that was on
his... Just 9/11, what year? No, we know.
That was on his watch. Oh, God. You know what I mean? And he blames himself. Like those Secret Service guys in those movies where the president got killed.
Yes, they never forgive themselves.
Right. So he vows to never spot again, and he becomes a loner, drifting, working odd jobs, you know what I mean, from town to town. Finds himself as, you know, working as a janitor in a high school. But of course, at some point, he sees the cheerleading squad.
He's outside taking a cigarette break or
something. And he slides in.
Right.
Right.
Right at
that
moment.
Like The Fugitive with Harrison Ford, remember?
Yes. But at the hospital.
He's a doctor. He can't help it. But then people start looking around like, what? Where? He's gone.
How does his orderly know what the hell's going on?
Just goes from town to town, finds love.
I like it.
You know, but he could never.
But he can never really just, you know, commit to it. He's haunted.
He's haunted by his past.
He's haunted by the spotting past. His spotted past.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this.
And it doesn't all have to be cheerleading related. No. Like at some point, there's a fireman and he's going up a ladder and they got a kid who he's saving. And he's coming down. Don't struggle. Boom.
Got him.
Grabs, sets him down.
I can see it.
Doesn't want any accolades.
Where does the kung fu come into?
The wandering of the
land. The TV show.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Kung fu.
I was ready for some sort. I got it. Okay.
Kane wandered the land.
He did.
You know, we'd go from town to town. I mean, at the end of he'd find love. But then at the end.
He'd always have to leave.
He was a rambling man.
He's a rambling spotter man.
I'm just throwing out the broad strokes here.
This is a good pitch. I like it.
It sounded like you said you were a rambling man. Just for a second, it sounded like...
Oh, no. I'm thinking Duchovny.
Okay.
Because I went Goodwill Hunting.
He's matured in this role. Sure.
Goodwill Hunting, you know, and he's the janitor, and then he solves the problem, and then he comes in, and he also can't. So, yes, all right. Okay, I can see all of that.
Monica?
Our Monica character leaves a diagram of a pyramid on the chalkboard overnight. Mm-hmm. He comes in, he fixes it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next morning says, my God, it's
that's
better.
That's right. Monica sees, yes, you miss something and he catches it. The spotter catches it.
I could see, you know, like a co-executive producer, kind of technical expert kind of role for you. Like they do if they did a military movie.
Yes.
They get a Vietnam guy to come in there. I could see a role for you. You could wet your beak. Well, throw you some on-camera stuff. I don't know.
Cameo.
I think you're pretty good with your lines, you know?
Cameo here or there.
That's right.
Under five.
Are the spotters all male cheerleaders, or they have professional spotters?
A spotter can be anybody. I mean, there are very elite and very talented all-girl teams. So there's, you know, obviously those teams have girls that are spotters. You don't have to be male or female. With my team, we have a lot more males on the team than we do females. So we tend to always have our male spotting, but that's just because of the makeup of our team.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, girls are strong too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yeah, but if there was ever a male pyramid and that collapsed,
then we'd
you wouldn't
like,
want some little 118-pound pixie. Trying to save some big,
yeah
big
I mean
boy.
Obviously we have our guys that are spotting, so you know, if we ever felt like we needed a little extra, we might put one of our girls on the side or something, but for us we have the males. But there are definitely very talented all-girl teams that strictly have girls that are spotting each other.
When I was vetting a spotter, I would take the same approach I have for potential pedophiles
Oh.
and Cub Scout camping trips. which is, you know, you get all the dads together and you go, who's taking the kids up to Mount Pinos for 3 days? And the guy's hand goes up the first.
Quickly, very quickly.
You're out, Ted.
Out. Yeah.
Out. So when I go to high schools, I go, who wants to be? Nope.
Can't
you're out. Me. You're out. I don't want that kind of enthusiasm. I don't know you well enough, you know? I don't know if you need help vetting. I could do it. We could probably
do it.
We could do it through Zoom.
Great. I'll give you a call.
I'd like to talk to him. That's all. Just kind of do some tire
kicking.
Show him
some pictures, see what his reactions are.
So you must have started out as a cheerleader yourself.
I mean, cheerleading is way different now than it was when I was younger. We didn't really have all-star cheerleading, which is like club cheerleading in other sports. And so I did gymnastics and then I went into school cheerleading when I was old enough. And then when I graduated, all-star cheerleading became a thing, which has really changed the industry as a whole because it's created these really talented cheerleaders and given them opportunities to compete multiple times throughout the year. But I definitely had no plans of being a cheerleading coach. I actually went to the University of Texas and have a finance degree from the business school, and I have my MBA. So I always thought I would work in the finance industry, and I just by chance applied for this job just really because a friend of mine asked me to, and I was, you know, had not been out of college long. So, but here we are 27 years later. So here I am.
Forgive my ignorance, but are there scholarships for cheer?
Yeah.
Is it pretty widespread?
I think it's definitely gets better every year. There are some really great scholarships out there that, you know, there are people that can go to school with grants and cheerleading scholarships. They don't have to have any out-of-pocket expenses.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
What are the cheers? Yeah. So I don't have quite your experience, but I did do the powder puff game in 1981 where the girls play football and the football players cheer. So right. I think I know what I'm
so you're close.
Talking
close.
About here. I said not the experience
no,
you've
close.
Had, but yeah. Oh yeah.
Some in the ballpark.
Well, yeah, I've been there. I know what it's like.
It's a little different now, but yeah, little
you know,
experience.
Look, you weren't there. We'll just leave it at that.
No, but I'm close to your age, I'm assuming. I was in high school in the 80s, late 80s, but I played powder puff, so I saw the guys in borrowing our uniforms and on the sideline cheering. I witnessed it.
Yeah. Well, look, I went to North Hollywood High. We didn't have a good football program, and we didn't have a good cheering program, but we had a really good program for football players who cheered in the powder puff games. And everyone forgets about that.
So do we have video of that? Can we find video of you
There's
in that?
There's probably a picture of me in a cheerleading, a partial of a cheer. I played football. I was too big to fit into any of the cheerleading outfits, unless it was from that Hey Mickey song that Tony Basil did.
Mm-hmm.
There was one cheerleader in that group that I thought may have been a dude.
Did you have a signature move?
Well, my cheer was "Here we come a trucking in." That was my move.
Classic.
And I don't know if you guys do "Here we come a trucking in." I could teach it to them.
Yes.
I could teach it. We could go through Zoom. I can work with your people. Look,
okay.
I'm sure they'd catch on fast. They're you know, probably decent at this stuff. So I could probably lay it down a handful of times, and they could do "Here we come a trucking in" too.
Yeah, I'll put that on my to-do list.
I have my Rams cheer where I spell out Rams. Sorry.
Oh,
okay. We'll run that for you.
Can you do "We Got Spirit"? How about you?
Of course, we start with that. Sorry, this is me.
R-A-M-S, Rams!
Whoa!
Yeah, I spelled it out.
Yeah, that was
obviously, we're not going to do the Rams one. I'm going to physically be able to spell out whatever team we're cheering for, and then I'll download that to your minion.
Golden Eagles.
Mm-hmm. The Golden Eagles. I could do that. Yeah. So do Cheers, it's going to sound stupid, but do Cheers have names like they used to? Because I grew up playing Pop Warner football. They had all the cheer. Right. They had the names. We're going to do this one. We're going to do that one.
Yeah. Yeah. We have names because we still do cheers on the sidelines. We still cheer at games. And so sometimes it's we just call it based on emotion that's in there, like Special K or this or, you know, Go Dogs or whatever. But yeah, we have names so that we know what we're doing for sure.
Names like Here We Come a Truckin' In, or should I?
Well, you know, we don't have that one. We don't have that one. I've You're actually gonna. Never heard of that one. So
what?
Yeah.
No never way you've been in this business.
It's like a piano player not knowing chopsticks.
That? That's right.
Yeah. No, I've never heard of that.
Well,
can you do it for me?
Yeah, we're waiting. We're all waiting for you to do it.
I don't want to hear it. I'll lay it out verbally.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Okay.
Here we come a trucking in. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Bet you wonder where we've been. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. We're the team that can't be beat. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. 'Cause we're funky on our feet. And if you would break down and cry if you saw what I did when the funky feet part comes in.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now,
yeah, that definitely sounds very 1981. Yeah. I think we've kind of evolved a little bit.
Yeah, but nostalgic is all the rage now. Yeah. Look at bell bottoms and architecture.
Yes.
Ford Scrunchies. Just brought back the Bronco. Come on.
Oh, I'm getting it. I want that Bronco.
Love
and
it.
I want to come a trucking in.
Yeah. Thank a lot of your students would get a real kick out of that. And it'd probably be I'd probably learn something too. Who knows? You know, about myself.
About yourself. You'd learn a lot.
Yeah, we did 2 years. Did you do Powder Puff?
No, I played field hockey, and we didn't trade with anyone. We just, stood on the sidelines.
What position did you play, Monica, when you did the Powder Puff game?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember. Probably like a receiver or quarterback, because I kind of like to, you know, be involved, but I really don't know. I don't remember. It was
Monica,
too long
don't
ago.
Block. Monica, don't block for anybody.
She's a skilled player.
She's a bit of a diva, but you know.
You do it for 2 years? We did it for 2 years.
Yeah, I played every year that we had. I can't remember if they just did juniors and seniors or what they did, but I played definitely every year that I could. I love that kind of thing, and you know. I love high school. I love high school sports.
I wonder if they even would allow that today.
No, I probably the not.
Boys. Oh, we still have it here in my hometown. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She's in Texas, L.A., some city council member said it was a grotesque, exploitive, the indigenous football.
How dare you? What are you talking? Yeah, Powder Puff kept changing the name.
The name was the problematic, and
terrible.
Then the guys dressing as women, and the patriarchy. It had to just be a total shit show. It was so
now
fun.
Now it's done with actual transitioning students.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Monica, let me give the book a plug. Full Out, Lessons in Life and Leadership from America's Favorite Coach. And it's available now on Amazon. Thanks for joining us. We'll DM me off the air about the come a truck and in thing. I'd be happy to carve out.
Okay, I will. I'm looking forward to it. Times. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Monica.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
We have the Oscar jokes from the old timey Oscars.
I want to see the cheer again.
That I wrote. It's going to be found somewhere. And that's Matt Fondelier reading them.
This is from 2018.
Okay.
Ah, welcome everyone to this year's Academy Awards. Hey, look, there's Emma Stone. Because of you, a whole lot of folks are out of work this year. There's Emma Stone. Tonight, she'll be presenting this year's award for Best Director. What could possibly go wrong? There's Emma Stone. Emma's a beautiful young girl with alabaster skin and eyes that look like somebody surprised her on the toilet.
That didn't make it?
It's funny.
That's
And look who it is. It's beautiful Emma Stone. She won an Oscar award for last year's smash hit Moonlight. Wait, what? Oh, Christ, you've got to be kidding me. Lin-Manuel. You know, because of you, I can't walk past a 12-year-old without giving a lecture on Aaron Burr. Thanks a heap, bub. Lin-Manuel Miranda. Wait a minute. Only one of those names is for a fella. Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's a dashing song and dance man who's the toast of all of Broadway. Unfortunately, he's married. Sorry, fellas. Lin-Manuel, he's got 3 Tonys. And that number would be at least 50 if you counted the fellas named Tony stalking him.
So,
you know, I haven't seen the show.
So what you do is just go write 5 jokes for each one of these. But this is too long. What are the ones? I'll keep playing it. What the hell?
You know, I haven't seen the show, but if it's half as peppy as Yankee Doodle Dandy, I'm in. Lin-Manuel, whose first name is an homage to the famous Puerto Rican poet Lin Espinosa and strong-armed Panamanian dictator and war criminal Manuel Noriega. The Oscars welcome you. Gary Oldman. What a moving portrayal of Winston Churchill. Fun fact, Winston loved smoking so much they named cigars and cigarettes after him. There's Gary Oldman looking dapper in his black tuxedo. No prosthetics, no cigar, just some pomade and a pair of Spanx. Winston Churchill had a bunker and he was a hero. Nowadays, having a bunker means you're a white supremacist who eats his stew out of a pouch. Where'd my music go? Thank you. Gary Oldman left Churchill's bunker to join us at the Oscars tonight. Nowadays, a man leaves his bunker, it means he's a white supremacist who's out of beans. There's Daniel Day-Lewis from Ireland, and Gary Oldman from Merry Old England. And here's Margot Robbie from Australia. Finally, some immigrants the president can be proud of. Daniel Day-Lewis is going to retire from acting this year so he can focus full-time on his first love, conducting fanboat tours of the Everglades. Daniel Day-Lewis is retiring, never to be on the silver screen again. Good luck with grandkids and working part-time at Home Depot. There's Margot Robbie all the way from Australia. That's a 25-day boat ride, unless she took one of those newfangled dirigibles. There's Margot Robbie. Why, her teeth are so white, they should come with their own Make America Great Again hat. Ah, the lovely Margot Robbie. She's from Australia. You know, that reminds me of a famous song. Tie Samuel L. Jackson's Kangol hat down, sport.
I knew that would never make it. Oh,
that's good.
There's Matthew McConaughey looking dashing in his Giorgio Armani tuxedo. The only thing he looks better in is his birthday suit. Why, I'd take a hot tub with you any day, Mr. McConaughey. Perhaps I've said too much. Emily Blunt. Fun fact, blunt is a slang word for a marijuana cigarette. And there's Timothy Chalamet. He was fabulous in Call Me By Your Name. Fun fact, a cigarette in England is known as a... What? Why not?
All right, that would be
and
an example.
Look, everyone.
That'd be an example of a joke they would not use.
No, but that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to write it, but it wasn't going to get used. All right, let me tell you about Concrete. Number one, stimulant-free pre-workout supplement. Concrete, patented creatine. HCL is the favorite of elite athletes and informed athletes as well. All the strength and endurance benefits of creatine without the negative side effects like cramps and diarrhea. It's the only creatine females should use because it increases lean muscle and there's no water retention or bloat. Your brain uses 20% of the creatine in your body, by the way. So creatine and Concrete fuel your body and your mind. Even your immune cells need it to protect your body. This stuff is good. I use it. You put it in a water bottle. You shake it up. You're going to go work out, do a little pre, do a little post. Dr. Drew loves this stuff and swears by it as well. Start your New Year's rezo off right with Concrete and amplify your workouts and burn those extra holiday pounds off with Concrete, right, Dawson?
Optimize your health and fitness, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. And if you register now at concrete.com/podcast, you can win a free membership to Planet Fitness for an entire year, plus a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. That's concrete.com/podcast to be one of the multiple winners. And Concrete is now available online and in-store. Walmart Concrete is truly changing fitness and health.
All right, quick break. Jody's going to do the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The Adam Carolla Show. Your source for the news that matters. Or random stories that piss Adam off.
Hey, guys. Okay, so here's a really interesting story. This pastor, Michael Todd from Tulsa, rubbed spit on the face of a churchgoer just to make a point in a sermon. Now, I just want to say before I go on that this is one of the reasons I don't go to church. Mm. The other one being I'm Jewish. So, but yes, I'm not against bodily fluid on a face. I actually went to college, so I remember that very well. But we do, and we do have a video of it. But yeah, this guy, Michael Todd, wanted to make a point, which was receiving vision from God might get nasty.
One of my memories of youth is my mom like licking her finger and wiping some egg on the side of my face.
This goes a little bit beyond
that. At a certain point, it smells like their breath when it dries, that's the part that kind of got me stuck in my craw. All right, so what do you do?
So, all right, so basically, are we going to watch the video or?
Sure. Yeah, we'll play right now.
Yep.
Changing something and you don't see it clearly yet, but you hit.
Uh-oh.
Ew.
And this is where most people would not face Jesus anymore.
Yeah.
What most people would do is turn away.
Oh, the other cheek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got a guy up there. Turn the other way. Oh.
Go to a doctor. What are you doing? Oh, that was a big one, too. Did you see the size of that?
If we forced Fauci to watch this, he would throw up in his own mouth, right?
What I'm telling you, it's just as he's physically standing here, knowing what's coming.
We get the idea.
Yeah.
God's saying, can you physically and spiritually and emotionally be able to stand when getting the vision or receiving it might get nasty?
Mm.
I'm going to say it in a point just like that. Receiving vision from God might get nasty.
This whole thing's killing me.
God, I just bought, in crazy faith, I just bought my dream car. And now you're going to ask me to sell it back and ride in the hoopty again? Yeah, because the vision I'm about to give you.
That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense.
It might get nasty.
That makes no sense.
I just smeared his spit on his face. It's taking a turn for the homo ride.
Yeah, I mean.
All right.
Well, here you go. Actually, fun fact, though. Let's just point this out. That's actually his brother. That's his younger brother. So, you know, they've definitely, you know what I mean? They've had spit on each other's face. In fact, what you don't know, the follow-up story is that when they went home, his brother farted in his mouth. Oh. Just as revenge. Because boys will be boys.
Ill-fitting jacket, very tight pants.
Very tight pants.
Yeah, very large jacket, it was very tight pants.
Very 80s. It looked very 80s, yes. I don't know. That whole car now, like, what was that? Didn't really make sense. It's
all
kind
specious.
Of like, I don't, you know, so spit.
Let me tell you about my preachers. I've not attended a lot of services, but I feel the same way about church as I feel about cranberries mixed into my oatmeal cookies. No. Just fucking make an oatmeal cookie.
Yes.
I just want to hear some scripture.
Word
to,
Lord.
Tell me what page to turn to. Let us pray.
I need it interpreted.
I don't
Give me the word
I don't need the new hip cool edgy, different.
Spit. No, if you were, especially in like COVID times, what was he even thinking? And by the way, how much phlegm did he need? Did you notice twice he had to build it up?
He
it
went was twice, that, yeah. Second yeah. round.
I mean, like, he doesn't, I could just call it on, like, I can do it right now if I needed to.
And then 10 minutes later, he's handing out the Eucharist. You know what I mean?
No,
like, you're taking that from a
no
spit
one's
hand.
Touching him again. No one's
I'll
ever touching
like,
him.
I'll be like, listen, you throw those, the Eucharist, like you're dealing cards. You know what I mean? Just boom, boom, boom.
And
then
get rid of the hand
thing. Right, do the hand thing.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that we shouldn't trust a preacher with a microphone?
Yes.
No.
Can that be just a rule?
I can. Yeah.
Don't trust anyone. Look, if you handheld microphone, I will trust
sure,
it. Do
sure,
not
sure.
trust the one that puts the thing on.
No.
The lapel.
Those are the guys. If you go to the
you mean the Madonna style?
The Madonna
yes.
style.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, hooks over the ear. Never
trust
those people.
I don't trust it. It's too thin.
I want to see some mic handling.
I need to see it. I need to see your grip so I know what we're dealing with.
You ever go to the LA Auto Show, you stay up on the first and second floor, you see the Porsches and Ferraris. Go down to the basement, see the guy selling the ShamWow. That guy's got
he's got it.
He's
oh,
got the
yeah.
mic on there.
Oh, yeah.
There's one guy standing in front of him.
Yes, the one guy.
The speakers are 10 feet to the right. There's no other human beings. And he's talking to the one guy through that.
Then he goes,
I don't trust that guy.
Goes home and drinks himself into oblivion.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
I don't need it. I wonder, the whole keto thing is sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
Some people.
Did you do it?
I get into it. I dabble. I go in and out, but some people get real hardcore.
Like yeah.
I
know next to one.
Hardcore.
Are you
Brian's
keto?
Hardcore.
You've been keto for like 3 or 4
But what about
yeah.
the body
Did you
of
get
Christ?
Keto sick? You got keto sick though, right?
The initial
the
week.
Initial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
The Eucharist. Would you take
I've
it?
Got to imagine that's a gram of carbs at best.
So you
we're
eat
talking
zero
hardcore
carbs.
Though.
Well, I haven't been to church in those 4 years, so I wouldn't know. But given that choice, I don't want to go to hell, but then again, I don't want to get fat.
Yeah, no, because in hell you'd be fat.
I have to say no to the Eucharist.
Do you think it'd be acceptable to substitute it with jerky?
They don't have a carb-free one?
The body of Christ.
Well, yeah. It wouldn't have
it
to be teriyaki.
Actual,
it's a cheese crisp.
It's, if you see it in the store in the gas station, the body of Christ jerky.
That's good.
Christ jerky.
Well, just a keto-friendly
yeah.
Eucharist.
Yeah.
That's all.
It. All right.
Well, it's made from cauliflower.
Yeah, do
stuff.
A cauliflower Eucharist.
Cauliflower Christ.
Cauliflower Christ.
Delicious.
Somebody get on that.
There's, somebody jump
leaving,
on that quick.
Leaving money on the table.
All right, let's jump right into Anne Frank.
Oh, the actually, pastor.
Before we do that, the pastor, breaking as we record this, he just posted a reaction to it, a little update.
All right, let's do it.
Watch what he says.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope you're having an amazing Monday. I just want to acknowledge what happened yesterday when the spit hit the fan. I watched
right.
it back, and it was disgusting. Like, that was gross. I want to validate everybody's feelings that was a distraction to what I was really trying to do. I was really trying to make the word come alive and for people to see the story. But yesterday it got too live, and I own that. And I just want to make sure people know that we want to help people. We want people
All
to
right,
see
we
Jesus.
Get it. First off, did he need to look back at the replay?
No, I mean,
I think he knew
he didn't know that it was disgusting while that giant, like, loogie, that's what he used to call it, right? Just fell right into his hand, just like.
The grossest part was when he rubbed it on his brother's face and there was a little line coming down.
Well, his brother pulled it out.
Yeah, now they removed
that?
It.
Pulled,
Maybe
removed
that's his
it.
Move. Like when he speaks in tongues, he licks people. I'm so saliva based.
Oh, God. Well, he has. I mean, he's a good looking guy, but he's a lot of teeth. I feel like his mouth produces a lot of saliva.
He may.
And his brother is probably
and he's
like.
Animated.
Yeah, he's very animated. People that are more animated have a lot of spit.
There's. Definitely more spittle coming from people that are yelling versus
yes,
those
sometimes
that are,
it hangs off their mouth.
Ever, no one ever went and spoke to a librarian and got hit with spittle.
No,
Never.
You're right.
You talk to a football coach on a sideline,
you'll
be dusted in
so
spittle.
So true.
It's animated people who create. You know, Fauci should really go after. Leave the librarians alone. Go after the Baptist ministers.
Seriously.
They're the spittle people.
They really are.
At some point, the spittle people work themselves into such a lather that they start sweating profusely. And then you don't know if you're being hit with spittle or just sweat that's being kicked. Riding, just hitched a ride with some spittle.
I think that's another show that you've got there, another great show idea, the spittle people.
The spittle people.
The spittler.
Oh, the spittler.
Yeah.
He's also just someone who roams and just spits on people. He's
shows up at football games.
He's had this one incident where he blinded someone with his spit and he can't shake it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll be a companion piece to the spittler.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know,
we'll spin it off.
Right. It'll be a spit off.
Yeah, like Barney Miller did with fish.
Love
or
it.
Or something.
Great. All right.
Are the...
Was it?
Archie Bunker did with the Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some Anne Frank. A little uplifting stuff. We all know Anne Frank and her diary. Apparently, we all need to know who betrayed the Frank family. And this retired FBI agent, Vince Panoke, put together a team back in 2016 of expert investigators, and they used the most modern crime-solving techniques to try to crack the case. They spent hours looking for the clues concealed in a concealed room behind the Amsterdam warehouse where the Frank family and four other Jews lived hidden away for more than 2 years. Side note, they should really be looking for the identities of these four other Jews. That's the problem I have with that whole
about Anne.
It's all about Anne and the Frank family. And then who are these four other Jews? I mean, keep saying the four other Jews. Who are these people?
It's like after the Kobe helicopter accident.
Exactly.
Like nine other souls on that plane.
Yeah, exactly. These four other Jews are like, hello, I had a diary too. I mean, like, nobody cares, right?
Yeah, I watched the story.
You did watch it, right?
I watched it. First things first, some sort of person who worked there at the factory or the whatever just grabbed the diary, thankfully. Otherwise, we would have had it because the Germans just would seize everything, including the diary. But somebody thought enough to grab it. Anne Frank's, crazily enough, so it was like Anne Frank, the dad, the mom,
sister,
and their
sister,
they all went off, and everyone went off to camps and was all killed. The only one that survived was the dad.
No shit.
Yes.
I didn't see the story.
Yeah, the oldest of the Franks
alive. Which is so strange.
He was published a diary.
Yep.
Do you think my dad or mom would publish my diary?
I just was going to say, as a teenage girl, if my dad read my diary, do you know how fucking pissed I'd be?
Oh, my God.
Did you read my diary and publish it? You didn't just read it. You published it?
It was the last remaining survivors.
Exactly.
How dare you?
Seriously, Dad. Like, think about it. Would you ever take your daughter's diary and read it?
Right, but she wasn't being fingered at camp. You know what I mean? She had different thoughts, more worldly thoughts.
You're
you know what I mean? Your stuff would be more intimate. You know what I mean?
Chad said hi to me today.
We had a crush.
Chad did say hi to me.
See?
Right. That'd be a whole chapter.
No, it was Anne Frank.
Oh, so I had a Chad.
The dad survives.
Right, yes.
Everyone else is killed. At the end of the war. I mean, it was wrapping up because she was there from 13 to 15. And the war was... D-Day had happened. They'd invaded. The troops were moving in. So they were destroyed. The dad lived. The dad got basically an anonymous letter a little bit later, a few years later, going, here's who ratted you guys out. And he sort of went, yeah, that's who that person is. But he never shared it with the world.
Dignity.
Well, the person that ratted him out was a Jew. And he didn't want to stoke any fires of sort of Jew. You know, we thought of it as just some guy looked like Dolph Lundgren or something. But,
just walking around there.
But was that in exchange for freedom or amnesty or something at least?
It's a super evil Jew.
Super, one of those bad Jews. One of the bad ones.
It's like picture all the Hollywood guys.
Bags of money, the dollar sign on it.
No, the Germans would roll into town. They would start some sort of Jewish auxiliary board or something where they get the predominant. It's all it's kind of laid out if you watch the movie Red Dawn.
Okay,
wait, which one?
The first one.
Oh, the best one.
They go into town and at some point they get the mayor and the elders and they get them together and they're like, hey, you want to play ball? Where are these guys hiding? You know what I mean? And we can make things easy on you and you can enjoy your life. So it makes total sense. You go, well, some anti-Semite must have ratted them out, but the anti-Semite wouldn't have known where they were hiding. It was the guy who was on the Jewish elders committee or whatever who knew where all the Jews were hiding. And then at the end, the Germans were like, all right, we're going to break up the meeting of the Jewish elders and we're just going to put you on the train to
yes,
Auschwitz too.
Of course.
And then those guys were like, oh, hey, I got some information. So yes, I don't have to put. So if we really think about it, if it wasn't Anne Frank and her family right, on the train to Auschwitz, it would have been this guy
and his family,
family mm-hmm, on the train to Auschwitz. And in which case, nobody who has kids would ever make a decision other than the one he made.
No, of course. And I think so many, it's so funny. I did a paper on the propaganda in college about the propaganda during the Holocaust. You know, I lost relatives, you know, from there, not obviously ones that I knew, but I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, we have no idea what they were going through, what they were told. You know what I mean? You have no idea what you do in that position, give up a family to save your family. I mean, you'd like to be like, I would never do that, but who knows? I mean, I think the whole thing is that they're like, you know, still searching through all, you know, they put together this amazing team to like find out the answer, to find out the motives. That when I was hearing that, they're like, we want to know that the motives are, they were Jews. Like there was like, that was the motive. Like everybody wanted to find them for that reason. And I just felt, I thought it was very interesting as a Jew, who also owned a diary, you know what I mean? Then I'm getting no, like no one wants to read my diary.
I marveled, as I always do, when everyone thinks I'm sort of nuts or crass or something, but when they're talking about the trains and the loading them all up, and it's like the Germans kept meticulous paperwork on all the Jews and everything going to town, and they get everyone's name and date of birth, and it's like, and try to fight a war on a number of fronts? Like, how about you give the rounding up the Jews a break until yes, you win the war?
Yes, like, exactly.
War is all about allocated resources. It's about how many people, how many guns, how many tanks, how much energy are we going to put into building bunker pillbox machine guns mm-hmm, on Normandy versus building torture camps
yes,
for spindly 13-year-old
yes,
kids.
Yes.
Like it's insane that they had launched that kind of mm-hmm, effort in the middle of, you know, Germany's not that big. All of Europe was basically against them, not to mention Russia, not to mention the U.S. This is like I would have been a horrible Nazi general. My hand would have never stopped going up. And we would have had these meetings like, we have to get more cattle carts so that we can bring them. We got to build ovens. I'd be like, or we could build more Stuka dive bombers and win
exactly,
the fucking war.
Shut up, Fritz.
And then when the war's done, then we'll go back to the final solution. But first, let's just win the war.
Thank yeah, God they did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move on to something slightly lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Farrah Abraham, do you guys remember her from Teen Mom? Or are you trying to forget?
Yeah.
I don't know that is.
Yeah,
I don't
know. She's one of the original Teen Moms.
Okay. Yeah.
She's no longer, she's still a mom, but not a teen. Yes, that's right. Well, she was on Saturday, she was arrested for assault. And now as a mom myself, I get it, Farrah. Okay. I assaulted four people getting here today. But apparently she allegedly slapped a guard at a club. We definitely have video of that because you know everyone was filming that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at that.
So she was being removed from a
club
or something?
She was being removed from a club. She was belligerent, apparently.
Beverly Hills Hotel?
You want to fucking bullshit me, and if you want to ask like I'm not a real adult, go fuck yourself and go fuck yourself and go fuck yourself. That's you. Not anybody else. Nobody's talking to anybody else. You understand me? I do. It's because of you. You're welcome. It's pathetic. Where am I battling?
Is that a cop that's trying
that's
to...
That's a cop.
Oh, okay.
Is this... I think there's another clip, too, actually.
I like it.
This is a different...
I'll fill in the clip. When dumb, drunken chicks get drunk
yeah,
and then they spout off, you can stop it. I love it when they get one word stuck in their head.
Oh,
they
yeah,
go,
they repeat it.
This is pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
You're pathetic.
Yep. And
that pigeon's
this
pathetic.
This is pathetic. Today, it's pathetic. That, you know, that shirt is pathetic.
they don't have enough room for two or three words.
Well, that's just pathetic or fucking. Well, there's another video of her that I think that was her first. By the way, this is her second time. I should say this is her second time that she's been arrested for doing something like this.
She's pathetic. This whole news section loves is pathetic.
She's pathetic. Why are you saying that? I'm pathetic. I'm so tired of it.
She just has mental issues.
So many issues, but we still follow her. No PR is bad PR, in my opinion. I'm going to get drunk tonight and slap a guard.
I agree.
I'm going to get drunk tonight and slap a guard, and I'm going to repeat a word. What word should it be?
Oh, apathetic.
Oh, my God. You're not even apathetic. I am, like, you think you're apathetic, but that's not even being apathetic.
It's not a word you can work with.
I feel apathetic because you gave me that word.
Like, bullshit's the best joke word.
Bullshit's a good word.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Oh, fucking bullshit. Bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Now you're talking.
Oh, that's the one.
In your stand-up comedy routine. You were talking about.
That's the one.
They tackled her.
This is the one on Saturday. Yeah, they tackled her, and she's losing. You're talking about men and women and whatever.
I'll tell you the thing about men. No man wants to save her.
This one?
Yeah, we wouldn't. A lot of guys would want to bang her, but not save her. If there's equivalent with this with women, the women might want to save the guy.
Right, you're right.
Who's the cat burglar?
He's just the club bouncer, the club door guy.
Yeah.
She is, by the way, because there's even another clip. There's another clip on the other side. By the way, there's so many people filming. Everybody's filming. She does repeat something. Oh, that it's not. I think she kept repeating, it's not legal. This is not legal. She did that. None of this is legal.
She's literally just rolling around.
She's rolling around in the dirt. But guess what? When she gets up, her hair's on point. I'm not lying.
Really?
It looks so good.
What has happened to humanity?
I don't know, but look at that. I mean, how many people must have posted about that? Anyway, I mean, she's living her best life. You're so not apathetic.
I would argue all the people who stand around filming it instead of going into the club.
Exactly. And if you see the other angle from that, it's no one. Everyone just has their phone like holding it in front of them. That's all they're doing. And they're having a conversation. They're waiting to get in. They're literally just taping it. No one cares. No one gives a shit.
But I will say this. Thank God for the smokers
because the
smokers go in the club, they get drunk, they hang out, whatever. And then at some point, they get their buzz on and they go out to the sidewalk to blow butt. And then Farrah Abraham gets into it and they're there. Though everyone else, the non-smokers, are in the club drinking.
Right. I can't believe
people weren't
filming the smokers because you're shamed when you smoke. Yes. By the way. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pathetic. Anyway.
Pathetic. Maybe pathetic will be your word.
Maybe. Pathetic. Pathetic. Right. Speaking of pathetic, this last story that I read, I couldn't believe it. A woman who binged 32 sushi rolls at an all-you-can-eat buffet was rushed to the hospital. She just was sick. She got some sort of food poisoning, and of course she filmed herself in the hospital.
32 pieces would be impressive. 32 rolls.
I'm sorry. No, it's 32 rolls. Yeah, 32
Shit.
Rolls. Yes. Here's the thing, though. And this is a $50 all-you-can-eat sushi place. Okay.
If you go to a
$50 all-you-can-eat sushi place, you deserve to get sick. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to be insensitive here, but I'm thinking about her husband.
She's not married.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know her suitor,
her man. You know when you eat too much, like curry or something, it start to kind of smell like it?
Oh, she is a giant bitch.
I just wonder if he becomes intimate with her at some point.
He has no idea what's what.
Just wonder which end
it all
the smell
smells
is.
The same.
Uh-huh.
He goes down there, clears his sinuses.
Yes, he goes right up. He's got the wasabi a little bit.
Put the wasabi in her belly button. Yeah. I do understand that concept of... Whenever they do the all-you-can-eat and they give the price, then your job as a consumer is to eat more than you paid for.
Having said that, and I'm someone who actually loves a good buffet, but not a sushi buffet.
Yeah.
It just sounds unfresh.
They're making money off
it. It's not fresh fish. It's like sort of like what everybody else passed. It's definitely like at the end of its like fin.
And
you know what I mean?
And you're right.
Tail rolls.
Yes.
Yeah, imitation crab and
yes.
stuff. But I think people, I agree. It's the same stuff with the stuff you get at the supermarket,
yes.
you know, prepackaged. Because I'll tell you this. You are eliminating half of the sushi experience by not ordering sushi.
Yes.
It's a lot of like looking, it's arguing over what you're going to get, having the discussion about what sashimi is.
I'm not eating unagi.
How that works. Right. Dialing it in. Like none of the sauce.
Why does the shrimp still have a head on it? Yeah.
Right.
Chris
and discussing.
Is like,
yeah. The foreplay of sushi is the, did you order enough?
Mm-hmm.
Should we get more? A little range anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, did we get enough? Well, we can always order another roll.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. The allocating it sort of incrementally, like, give us the spicy tuna
right.
and the dynamite roll and just bring that out now no, and then right.
we'll
scheme about
yeah, it's a whole of the sashimi hand rolled and then yeah.
It's an emotional odyssey
yes.
you go on, but it's lovely. Yeah. It's
yes.
beautiful.
That's beautiful. When you go to an all you can eat buffet sushi, that sushi has, how long has that been sitting out there?
Even if the sushi is grade A, you're still depriving yourself of the experience
right.
of the ordering.
You're right.
Sometimes a little discussion. Right. About what's popular, what they like, little negotiation.
So she deserved to get sick.
She
that's
did.
What I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
That was the news. And I'm Jody Miller.
Get in the hot tub and blow back.
That was the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
That is, it is the greatest. Audible.
It's the greatest thing.
It's the greatest words that have ever been captured.
I forgot about it, Adam, so thank you for reminding me.
Let's not forget about the breathing that filled in the space between the words.
I think I have to download it and just keep it.
I'm saying if Abe Lincoln was mic'd up when he gave his four score speech, this would still trump that audibly.
You're right.
In the annals of captured audio.
If Abe Lincoln actually did that, if he said, get in the hot tub and blow me, though,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of his speech, though.
Mm. Oh.
The historians may have been kind to him.
Four whores and three hot tubs ago. All right. Yes. That was Gettysburg, right?
Close enough.
You can go to AdamCarolla.com. I'm going to be at the Brea Improv coming up February 6th with Bill Shatner up on stage and Dennis Quaid as well. Then we're going to Spokane and Tacoma. And wow, lots of live shows. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Jody Miller, The world's funniest weather TV show. And you can check out her local TV listings, podcasts, White Knuckling Parenthood. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Jody Miller Comedy. .com is where you go to find out all the mirth that she's making. Monica Aldama, you can get her book Full Out. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla, Brian Bishop, Monica Aldama, and Jody Miller saying mahalo.
You drive me. I sit in the back and look at my phone. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see Adam Carolla, Truth Yeller in Brea. Two shows, William Shatner, Dennis Quaid. Tickets available at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting? You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.